This programme was made with the support of the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland.
Beibol a Haclia, a three-part series that will illustrate the multilingual past and present of our capital city. In this, our final programme, we will present further three languages of the many spoken all over Dublin daily. Thomas, Hon and David will talk about their experiences and their views in relation to language transmission as Polish, Chinese and Lugandan speakers respectively.
Dzień dobry, witam wszystkich. It's in Polish. Good morning, I welcome everyone. Nazywam się Tomasz Wybranowski. My name is Tomasz Wybranowski, it's my name and surname. If we talk about language, a lot of people say that Polish language is the third language in Ireland after English. Gaelic. Why? Because, you know, after 1st May 2004, when Poland joined with European Union, came here circa about 275,000. In 2008, 275,000 PPS numbers. If we talk about Dublin, I think it doesn't matter crisis. If we talk about Polish people, I think population between 80 to 125,000 only in Dublin. Sorry. Agatko, mam wywiad, zaraz odzwonię, dobrze? Okay. And continue. In every country, every society, good manners, bad manners. I know 100 families which, you know, came here in 2004, 2005, and still they are living here. Next generation going to Irish school, and I think these people stay on permanent time. If you talk about my mother tongue, Polish language, I speak every day because, you know, I have Polish flatmates. It's, you know, normally we're talking in Polish, normally. I have as well Polish friends, and we have, you know, regular meetings 2-3 times per week. We're going around, for example, to nice restaurant, or for example, nice venue, like, for example, the Auto Arena, or, for example, the Academy, or the Willans, or the Village, the very popular clubs, if you talk about Polish events. We have Polish people. I said we have, because, you know, this is opinion of my friends as well. We have not the problem with using Polish language. I never met a situation like this that someone told me can't speak Polish or something. Never. Even in Citibank, where when I work 6 years, and for example, you know, during the break or lunchtime or something, no the problem. Dublin is fantastic place, charming, very atmospheric. Why? Because, you know, when you're going on Friday, on Saturday night, you can hear around you all languages from the Europe and Asia, the South America. The mixing with, for example, with German language, Italy, with Polish, Lithuanian, with Romanian or Serb-Croatian languages is fantastic. I speak, of course, Polish language, my mother tongue, English, a little bit of the Russian language. Better if we talk about the writing and, you know, reading, because, you know, every language is need to be training, and you know. But in Ireland, I had a few times occasion to speak in Russian language, and a little bit in French and German. About my children's preferences, the best language. It's hard to say because my daughter, she's still living in Poland with her mother. But she started to speak English into preschool start now. She speaks very well in English and she started as well to learn the French language. Now my Julia has 10 years old and I think, you know, in the French, you know, is better than me. In English, I had, you know, nice adventure because, you know, my friend ranked 2 years ago and, you know, Julia picked up the phone and she started speaking English with my friend, Irishman. It was for me, you know, brilliant and fantastic, you know, incredible. If we talk about native tongue language, it's very important, in my opinion, and European Union is the great big gift for all nation in Europe, but we can't forget about our roots, about tradition, history, people from the past. For me, you know, it's very important that, you know, the next generation, they have information about, you know, tradition, you know, his, you know, grandparents or, for example, mother or dad, because, you know, it's very important because, you know, for example, sometimes we can lost and sometimes when you can ask yourself who I am, very important for me, the first I feel, you know, I'm Polish man, I'm still Polish man, I'm living in Ireland over 8 years, but my heart is still Polish. But, you know, I feel like, you know, a member of big European family. It's very important for me, my history, my literature, my habits, everything, the native language. If you talk about benefits from, you know, knowledge, a lot of people I found in Europe speak in English. Several language, of course, for example, the journalist, for example, the lawyer. Because now we're living, you know, in global village. I think the good idea for young people to learn oriental languages, like, for example, Russian, or for example, you know, Kazakh, you know, for example, the Vietnam, or for example, Laos, or, you know, Cambodian language. Because, you know, all technician, you know, the economic center going to Asia, China, Vietnam, Indonesia. Mówił Tomasz Ubranowski. Do widzenia, do usłyszenia. Cześć.
That's hello in Mandarin Chinese. And in Chinese, 你 is you, and 好 is good. And 你好 is you good, so are you good? 你好 is the most common way of greeting people casually in Chinese. So if I walk past any Chinese people who I'm an acquaintance with, I met only once or twice, if I walk past them in the street, I would just say, probably smile to them and nod and say 你好, say hello to them. Well, very interestingly, I think 你好 is also the best known Chinese phrase among non-Chinese people here in Ireland. So I find some people say 你好 to me in the street when I walk past them in the street here. So it's quite interesting. I would speak Chinese language on a daily basis to my friends and my Chinese co-workers here in Dublin. And I would also speak it daily with my friends and family on the phone, on the internet. I think there are a lot more than 1,000, could be at least 20,000 Chinese speakers in Dublin. There was even more before the recession, but like when the recession started a few years ago, a lot of people left and they went back home or went to other countries. I would always speak Chinese to another Chinese speaker, but after making sure they are Chinese speaker, like in English. So I would speak English to them if there's another non-Chinese speaker is engaged in the same conversation. I would like to teach my children Chinese if I had any in the future. So I wouldn't force them to learn it because it's my cultural heritage or anything like that. But I personally would like them to speak Chinese, not only because, like, I know from my experience it would benefit them a lot when they are looking for a job or when they want to do business. But also for my personal understanding, if they understand one more different language like Chinese, it's like they can understand one different human mentality when they speak it, like when they communicate in that language with the people of that language. It's like as if they could visit another dimension with their mind if they could learn Chinese. So that's why I personally, I want my children to learn Chinese. And also, Chinese is very different from English or other Western languages. So I would even believe, like, my children, they could benefit from developing a different part of their brain from, like, learning Chinese language. That's according to some of the articles that I read. I'm not sure, but I believe that. When I had children, I would like them to speak maybe at least 3 different languages so that they would adapt well in today's world. And it's like a global village now. So if they speak at least 3 languages, if they speak all languages, they're able to understand the people around them better and they could understand the world better. I speak Chinese Mandarin, my native language, and I speak English. And I learned Japanese for 2 years, so, but I forgot most of it, so maybe two languages. I benefit from speaking more than one language when I look for a job. And when I feel it's a great advantage for me, not only when I go to look for a job, but also when it comes to understand the mentality of the people of the languages that I speak. So it's like a totally different world when you understand the mentality of another people. And to say goodbye in Chinese is 再见, 再见.
Balu balu baby, naomba mina wewe tuwe, hata na balu balu dale, na lalia, sina balu balu baby, na naga mina wewe tuwe, hata na balu balu dale. Jotem jotem jotem, kutoka tulipo kutana, sijawahi kufikiria tutachana, lakini tulipo pendana, ueleweki unaniumiza sana.
Chikat is the simple one, greeting in Luganda. Say that there are around over 100 at least in Dublin City speaking Luganda. And I do speak Luganda every day, I would say. I speak it mainly with, believe me or not, fellow Ugandans and some Irish people who, you know, have, you know, connection with Uganda, either by living there or working there or maybe even traveling there. When I meet another speaker of Luganda, we actually break out in the usual Luganda words because, you know, there's the connection we have. If I know they do speak that language, yes, we do. And then, of course, we can now go to the mainstream language. I speak 4 other languages, you know, Uganda, English, of course, then 3 others in my country, Swahili, they call them Kitala. It has 2-3 languages and amalgamation, so that those are the ones I can speak. For me, speaking more than one language is a bonus to my education. It empowers me to communicate well with others and connect with them in a language which is common, so that makes it powerful. To my children, yes, I think language is good for them, for their development, shapes their lives. It's a foundation for understanding how to appreciate cultures as well as, I think, know the differences, how it is important to have the differences through the language as well as to use that as one common denominator. Maybe you can say diversity is a common denominator. If you don't have diversity, you have no common, there's nothing in common. I would like my children to speak as many languages as possible. And of course, my mother tongue would be very useful, but the reason why I want them to speak as many is because it's free in education for them. Learning is is one thing that children want, and at an early age they can learn a lot. They have the privilege to learn a lot if we can provide them with learning. I know a friend of mine who has got children who speak 4 languages. They are not only 6, and I'm talking about Spanish and Luxembourg and French and English. You know, and they're just 6-year-olds. You know, depending on who's speaking to them in the home, they just communicate to them. And depending on who's getting back to them, they communicate back in the language. That's the best, I think, as a human right. The children have a right to be exposed to as many languages as possible, as is enshrined in the Human Rights Declaration. Dubai in Luganda is wherever. In Swahili, kwaheri.
Now let's visit Dublin and hear firsthand what the people in the streets know about the multilingual history of the city they live in.
Fingalian, an ancient language or type of pizza?
I think it could be an ancient language.
Type of pizza.
It sounds like it would be an ancient language.
I'm not sure. But I think it's pizza.
It's about the pizza.
I think it's ancient language.
Ancient language.
Oh dear, I'm going to go with an ancient language just to make it sound like I know.
Well, I'd say might be from County Fingal, so I'd say it's an ancient language.
I have no idea.
I don't know.
I don't think it's a type of pizza and any type of language.
Ancient language.
Asian language.
I think the Asian language.
Now let's hear Dr. Michael Cronin give us the answer.
English, of course, is spoken in the city of Dublin throughout the medieval period, but it's a particular kind of version of English. A lot of it is a dialect of Middle English, which survives in the Fingal area, became known as Fingalian.
Try to say this expression here.
Das ist bar ir bor ikra id storm storm.
Any idea what language is it?
No idea, sorry.
Power, storm, but I don't know what language is it.
Barer, bor, storm.
Any idea what language is this?
Gaelic.
Par, por, storm.
It's hard to pronounce, isn't it? Any idea what language is it?
I don't know, maybe Iceland or Norsk or something like that.
Poor Ecker Storm.
Any idea what language is it?
No clue at all.
Poor Ecker Storm.
Any idea what language it is?
I have no idea.
Par a poor Ecker Storm. No, that's Stormer.
Any idea what language it is?
I want to say. Perhaps Polish? I don't know.
Par por ek storkm.
Thank you. Any idea what language it is?
Arabic.
Par por ekar storm.
Any idea what language it is?
Eastern European. One of the countries in Eastern Europe, or is it a... No, I don't know.
The English translation of it is, so where Tor drives their storm.
Ah, so Norse.
How many languages do you speak?
About 6 or 7. Polish, English, Italian, Russian, Swahili, Timni, Kriu, a little bit of Mandi, Greek and Latin for study purposes only.
So I speak Russian, French, English, Romanian.
3. English, Polish and Afrikaner.
2 very well and 1... not so well. I speak Irish and English, and I can speak a bit of German.
Only one, really. I speak English, I speak a little Spanish, and I speak a little Irish, but probably even less. Probably the least I speak is Irish.
I speak two languages. Polish, my native language, English, and I also can understand German.
I speak two languages. Portuguese and English.
English, Russian, and a little German.
Three. Polish, English, Russian.
Three languages now. Is my mother language, Urdu, English, and Punjabi. Can speak Hindi as well, yeah.
And what about giving a last opportunity to Michael Cronin, Dr. Michael Cronin, to give us a little bit of advice in relation to the opportunities that the languages that are currently among us in Dublin give us?
Basically, the origins of strong monolingual image are post-famine, because the population of the country is halved. But an important thing to remember about that is that it disproportionately affects Irish language speakers. Most of the people who die, most of the people who decide to emigrate, are predominantly Irish speakers. So, of course, when we get to the end of the 19th century, in terms of census returns, the Irish-speaking population has dropped below 5% of the population, whereas at the beginning of the 19th century, it was certainly more than half the population. The figures are probably even more substantial insofar as people describe themselves as bilingual, but that just meant they had a few words of English. So this is the first thing to bear in mind. The second is to do with Dublin's presentation of itself, which was very much as the second city of empire, and couldn't really be the second city of the British Empire if you didn't speak English. So it was part of the self, the kind of mythification of Dublin, to present itself as, you know, an English-speaking city that was part of this larger imperial project. I think in terms of the multilingualism in Ireland, there's two things that are challenges for the future. The first is to see the multilingual backgrounds of those who are coming to settle in Ireland not as a barrier, not as an obstacle that must be overcome. It's always presented in these terms, but as an opportunity. It's quite extraordinary that we now have people from many, many different linguistic backgrounds who are growing up in Irish society, you know, who are working in Irish society, who are paying their taxes here, are contributing to the society. But what they also have is this extraordinary linguistic resource of their mother tongue. And for a small country like Ireland that must operate in an open global economy, where it's absolutely vital to speak the language of your customer, we have this extraordinary asset which has been brought to us by people who have come to work here. And I think one of the duties on us as a people is to make sure that that asset is developed to the full, that we have proper policies in place for mother tongue language maintenance. I think that's absolutely crucial. I think, secondly, this multilingualism needs to be a kind of wake-up call for the Irish themselves. And I think in particular, one of the things that a small nation's got to do, it has got to kind of box smart. It's got to do things better, more nimbly, more intelligently than its larger, more powerful neighbours. So in the Anglophone world, where foreign language instruction gone into a catastrophic decline in the United Kingdom, it's gone into a catastrophic decline in the United States, and in Anglophone Canada, indeed generally throughout the English-speaking world, Ireland could, if you like, stand out, if you like, occupy a very distinctive niche and have a decisive competitive advantage in the Anglophone world by being a country that had a population that was both Anglophone and multilingual. This, it seems to me, would not only make the Irish better citizens of the world, but it would also make them vastly more employable than they are now.
Before we finish the programme, we will have the opportunity to listen to a little bit of Gaeilge. We will visit Gael School Barra, where the students of 6th class will give us some ocal and a perla explanation of their meaning.
Ma bulan tu ma wadra bulan tu ma fain.
If you hit my dog, you hit me.
It means, like, if you hit anyone I like or I know, you're basically hitting me.
Or if you hit anyone I love, or you hurt anyone I love, you're hurting people they love as well.
Yeah, if you hit my friend, you hit me.
You see, the Indian, the Indian gajow, I say the mock the mock in you.
Your son's your son today, but your daughter's your daughter forever.
It means when your son gets older and he gets married, he'll leave you and he'll never help you or anything. But he'd come off for an often visit, but he wouldn't come back as much as your daughter would.
Yeah, your daughter would mind if you're sick and come on weekly visits, even though she's married, or their children and all.
I'd say it would happen a lot more now than it did years ago. She'd still come back a lot for you.
Yeah, the girls, like, mind their mum more.
I think the mums just miss their sons. Like, I think they'd miss them. If I had a son and he'd never come back to visit me, I'd be very upset about it.
You'd want to see how your grandchildren got on, his grandchildren.
What happened with a woman that have only sons?
Nobody. She'll have nobody.
Yeah, they'll probably just put her in an old folks home.
It's Faran Bower Nako Kasiwan.
It's a long route that doesn't have a turn. You never know what's around the corner.
You might think that you're going to win the lottery or something and then you end up don't, and you think you're going to live somewhere happy or something and then you end up not, and you end up having a sad life.
Well, exactly. No one knows what's around the corner. No one knows what's going to happen. As easily as I read today that somebody in Florida has won $560 million, but that person yet doesn't know that there's a twist in fate, that they're sitting on something that's life-changing. Koslav Shikalny, what will you do next year?
Then over a yard, clock to air gokrut.
Jay Mianilla, Kadin Yenishev?
Nilisko.
Dakitze pasaiten dan azken aldi ontan jentia zidala tantzaiten sarritan zerbait ikusteko adubi falta direlako zrekuentoka neralean sarri.
And that was all for the moment on our Babel Aha Klia. Hopefully, our listeners have got a flavor of the multilingual history and present of our capital city. With these three programs, we just started what it should be a mosaic with over 100 languages. But that's another day's work. Thanks to all that took part in the recordings, especially the students of 6th class from Girl School Barra, Sean, Diran, Laura, Amy, Cotin, Ben, Rebecca, Dara, Owen, Kieran, Neve, Leon, Taylor, and Leah, and also to their teacher, A. This program was produced and presented by Iñaki Irigoyen with the help of Thomas and Katia. And remember, you can listen to the podcast of this program in the webpage of Near FM, www.near.ie.
This program was made with the support of the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland.